Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us. It's such a pleasure to introduce our next guest. Let me ask you first, have you ever tried to write a book? Our next guest has written 40 books, and he has a book coming out called Saving America right now. He is Dr. Roger Blackwell of Blackwell Business Advisors in Columbus, Ohio. And Dr. Blackwell has written 40 books. Saving America is based on 4 decades of working with entrepreneurs and being a retired professor at The Ohio State University. I'm very pleased to welcome you to the show, Dr. Blackwell. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. And I'm in awe that that you've actually written 40 books. That sounds like a tremendous undertaking. I'm sure it has been. Tell us about your background and how you've worked with business owners over these many years, and about a little bit about you and your background.
Well, one of the stories that I talk about in the Saving America book is I started as an entrepreneur when I was age 8. And my mother said, would you like a job? I said, that sounds like fun. And we sent away for some samples from the New England Greeting Card Company, and I started selling them door to door. And by the time I was 12, I was earning approximately the same salary as some of the fathers of my friends. And later, I spent 5 years in radio and television, started as a janitor and ended up as the chief engineer of a radio station. And then I got a PhD and came to Ohio State University. And I was very, very lucky in that many of my students would ask advice after they left, and I helped some of them start businesses. And some of those grew into very, very large businesses. And over the years, I served on boards of directors. People have probably heard of a few of the companies, like Victoria's Secret. And, yes, I did go to the runway shows. I thought that was part of my fiduciary responsibility. And Abercrombie & Fitch. And a number of industrial firms and software firms. And I was very fortunate that some of them grew and prospered. And that's why when I retired from Ohio State, I was able to give my entire salary for my whole career back to the university from some of the businesses that I'd helped start.
That's phenomenal. Well, your new book, Saving America, who are the readers that your new book is written for?
The book is called Saving America, How Garage Entrepreneurs Grow Small Firms into Large Fortunes. And the book is really for 3 types of readers. I made the mistake one time saying it's for 3 readers. I hope it's a lot more than that. But it's for 3 types of readers. People who are interested in starting a business that will be successful. And I show the requirements to do that. And the second type of person that the book is designed for is people who already own a business and successful and would like to grow it into a much larger business. And we give examples of firms that I've worked with, such as Victoria's Secret and also Abercrombie & Fitch and firms like that. But mainly it's firms that maybe have 1 or 2 stores or locations and want to grow it into, and several of those have become billionaires, of course. And that's most billionaires start out with nearly nothing. A lot of people say, well, you know, my parents didn't have any money. Well, mine didn't either. And the fact is that 70% of all billionaires start with nothing. Les Wexner is one of the examples. We have a whole chapter about him in the Saving America book. An aunt loaned him about $5,000 on the condition he wouldn't actually spend it. He could use it as collateral to finance inventory, and he turned it within the trade cycle, and Forbes magazine says he's worth $5 or $6 billion now, and there are theories that tell anyone how to do that, but most people don't know those theories. So in this book, I try to do that. Now, you might say, well, I'm an entrepreneur. Maybe I'm retirement or close to it, and So the third type of reader is the person who wants to make sure that their retirement funds don't expire before they do. So it, the last chapter is how to apply your knowledge of what makes successful entrepreneurs to your IRA or other investments, and maybe investing in other entrepreneurs sometimes.
So being able to spot those people that are on potentially on track to explode in value and grow. Are, you know, in all of the examples that you look at, are there a couple common threads? Are there some commonalities that come to mind that you say, wow, it seems like everybody we've interviewed here has this in common?
Well, there's actually more than a couple. There's about 12, and those are 12 of the principles that we describe in the book. The three most important ones that characterize firms that transform industries are market segmentation, and an easy way of saying that is selling everything to everybody is a sure recipe for failure. The riches are in the niches, and so you have to get the segments that will, A, be more loyal, and B, pay higher prices, and C, keep coming back. And so market segmentation is one of the major topics we talk about. The other one that people have trouble understanding is functional shiftability. Now, that means that if you study business, you know there are eight functions that have to be done in every successful business. They can never, ever be eliminated, but they can be shifted to the most efficient level in the channel of distribution. And in fact, not only can they be shifted, they will, in the end run, always go to the most efficient. And you can transform whole industries. Michael Dell did that with the personal computer business. You know, at one time, people like IBM and Gateway would try to think out what will the customers buy, and then they produce it. And months later, they would try to sell it to stores, Best Buy, Circuit City, so forth like that. And then those stores would try to sell it to consumers. Well, Michael Dell shifted the function of deciding what to produce to the consumer and bypassed all of that. And what's more, instead of financing it for a year or more, he actually collected the money prior to spending any of it. Usually didn't have to spend it for quite a while after he had received it. And that's called functional shiftability. And we'll explain how Jeff Bezos did that with Amazon. And one of the best examples is Les Wexner at The Limited. He started with one store and this loan from his aunt, and then grew that over the years by changing or shifting the function of branding from manufacturers to the retailer. He also did the same thing with the logistics. And logistics are one of the most important determinants of who succeeds and who does not. And so we describe that in some detail. And the third one of the most important of those 12 is global thinking, meaning you understand the management methods that are required to run a firm in various countries, not all, just a few, and you also know how to source or sell in multiple geographic markets. You start out, like Myers did in Michigan, with one store. He was actually a barber before he opened his second store, and then he kind of gradually grew. And one of the firms that I was involved very heavily in was called Max and Irma's Restaurants. We started with a few stores in Columbus, one initially, and then we went to, before I became involved, they actually went to several other cities, and that was unwise. You're much better off to concentrate within a cluster rather than geographic dispersion. And I call that the principle of centrifugal expansion and show how it can be either geographic or it can be because you do so well with your customers. In the case of Hendrik Meyer, an immigrant to this country, he did so well with his barber customers that they were willing to buy groceries from him in a store he built next door. And that's how a barber became a billionaire, is the way we talk about it in one of the chapters. And actually, I shouldn't say chapters because we don't have any chapters in this book. We have conversations. You know, just like maybe we're having a conversation today, I tried to write this. Unlike many of the textbooks I had written before, if your listeners read my textbooks, I recommend them if they're having trouble going to sleep at night. But this book is designed to be a conversation about these topics. And we use practical examples of how theory works. See, if you were building an airplane, you might say, well, I'll just experiment with it and see what happens. Well, you may crash. And that's what happens to most firms. Also, 80% of all new firms crash, usually within the first 2 years, and often they don't even make it 1 year. And so there is nothing so practical as good theory. And that's surprising to some people. Some people say, well, you know, I don't want theory. I just want to know how to do it. Well, if you're going to build an airplane, you might want to study some aeronautical principles and structural engineering and some things like that. And that's what we cover in this book, because there is nothing so practical as good theory.
Were a lot of these stories it sounds fascinating. I'm going to get a copy as soon as we hang up. Now, let me ask you a question. Do a lot of these businesses or business owners state that there was a turning point at which they realized things were going to take off? And do they talk about that as well?
Well, actually, yes. And this is called the S-curve of entrepreneurship. There's a point of inflection where people move from just the first people who buy the product, and that will not determine the success of a product. And then there's a second stage of the early adopters who watch what the first people do, because the first people to buy new products are usually less successful in their field than the ones who come along later. And when it moves from the first buyers to the second and third set of buyers, what's called the early adoption, but not the first ones, not the innovators, that's when firms really take off. And that's the best time to get money or capital. The best time to start it is in your garage with very limited capital. And when I use the word garage entrepreneurs, literally there are several examples in it. And, of course, the most famous one was Hewlett-Packard out in Palo Alto, when I was teaching at Stanford, I saw that garage, and it's a National Historical Monument now. But I give much more recent examples of a City Barbecue, which started in the garage because the man had no money to start a restaurant, so he sold catering products of barbecue out from his garage. And it can be a kitchen. One of the examples in the book is Cheryl Kruger, who started Cheryl's Cookies and sold it for many millions to 1-800-Flowers some years later. But she was selling so many cookies from her kitchen that she decided, well, maybe I could open a store. And then she opened quite a few and did a very big online business. And so the term garage entrepreneur really means starting with limited capital. And my advice to most people who want to create a fortune is don't give up your day job until you prove what works in your garage or kitchen or basement, or increasingly today, of course, in a dormitory room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no
like
kidding.
Michael Dell.
So technology, you know, a lot of people have said that technology is the new frontier. There are tremendous fortunes made. Of course, like you said, many, many don't make it. But as you go through this, you just gave a great tip for people, you know, don't quit your day job. How about
right.
Market testing and finding out, again, the early stages of going after users and getting credibility and those types of things? What kind of tips could you give our listeners for things like that?
Well, that's where most people fail. You know, a very controversial topic in the book is, why do most firms fail? And the answer is too much capital, or TMC, because they get capital and then they go out and try to sell something. Well, the people who do it right actually test it, not by asking people's opinions, although that's important information too, but by collecting behavior. I'd rather see somebody who sold two or three of something and successfully had people say, I want more of that, than I will with a marketing research study that asks people, is this a good idea? The way you find out whether it's a good idea is do it. You know, Nike had a pretty good slogan when they said, just do it. And the most successful entrepreneurs focus on their customers, not their investors. And that's why, you know, Sam Walton didn't open his first store until he was 45 years old. And he did it with just the capital he and his wife had saved from working for other people over the years. And when they finally did it, that one's worked out pretty well. In fact, I have a chapter, a conversation about the Walton family, and it's called Secrets of the World's Richest Family, which is today around $500 billion, with a B, dollars. How did he do that? And that's what we talk about in the book. And he didn't start out with a lot of capital. He ended up with a lot, and that's why I call it How Small Firms Grow into Large Fortunes. And a lot of people don't know that. I work with people who've had disadvantaged lives in many cases, and a lot of times they say, well, I don't know how to become rich. I'm poor. Well, that's what the book is about, is anybody who's poor who would like to be prosperous. And there's a lot of concern about the prosperous middle class and the poor middle class today. And a lot of people say, well, we need to tax the wealthy and give it to the poor. Well, my job is, instead of raising more taxes, is to teach people how to raise more taxpayers in this country. And that's why we added the title Saving America, because if you want to create jobs and you want to have a prosperous middle class, there is no way to do that with large corporations today. You have to start with small corporations, and they build. But if you don't know the theory, it's like building an airplane without knowing anything about aeronautical engineering.
And there are some tremendous resources out there for small business owners these days. But, of course, you get ideas from books like you have written, and a tremendous number of books. Are business owners your heroes?
Oh, yes. I believe, and I've had the good fortune to work with a number of them. And there's some really, really smart people. But it's not necessarily IQ. It's the knowledge of what to do to make a firm really go from just an idea into something that people really buy a lot of. And that's where most people fail. And yes, I think Jeff Bezos is amazing. And we have a whole chapter on him and what he did at Amazon. And the process, he didn't just start Amazon. He went through a lot of firms, ideas and things. And he moved from a successful job, actually, in New York to Seattle. And a lot of people don't know why he moved. And they can read the book and find out, but it was functional shiftability. Because he knew the wholesaler of books, Ingram, was there, and they already knew how to perform that function well. And any firm that is doing okay but would like to do much better needs to understand things like functional shiftability, market segmentation, other things like how to win with people. I have a conversation in there on you win with people. Now, Woody Hayes fans will know that he already wrote a book on that and had some successful football teams. But you can apply those same principles to running a business. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm just a Lone Ranger. Well, the Lone Ranger had a friend named Tonto. And anyone who wants to run a successful business and make it a larger business needs a Tonto, for example.
Mm-hmm. A Tonto on the inside so they can be on the outside. As one of our last guests said, you need to spend a large portion of your time being visible, sales and marketing, getting the word out, just creating a buzz about what it is that you're doing. It sounds fascinating. Some of the other titles that I've got here in front of me are Consumer Behavior. Your first textbook on consumer behavior is available in several languages. It's used in universities throughout the world. You've written books called Brands That Rock, which is branding based on rock and roll legends. Customer
Rule.
Yeah,
we have any fans, Rolling Stones and Aerosmith. And people who can remember Elton John and those, they'll find in the Brands That Rock book why some people are one-hit wonders and others last for decades, and then we apply that to business.
It is an interesting phenomenon. I mean, it's beyond talent, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It takes two things. It takes knowledge and diligence. And in my book, and many other books, of course, can teach the knowledge. Now, if any of your listeners know how to teach people the diligence, I'd like to talk to them because that'll be my next book. That's a difficult one. But it starts with knowledge, and then you apply it. And, in fact, there are many sources. My website, rogerblackwellbusiness.com, has several different types of references, including my favorite category is books that everybody should have read by age 30. But it's okay if you're over 30 to still read them.
Okay, well, that's phenomenal. So there's a lot at your website, it sounds like, for our listeners, that they can go there and just stay there for a long, long time and learn about a lot of different things. And you've written, like I said at the onset, 40 books, tremendous amount of knowledge there. And your website is rogerblackwellbusiness.com, is that right?
That's correct. And rogerblackwell.com will take you to that website also. But Roger Blackwell Business is its official domain name, and we put a lot of different things on it, including some blogs from the past and some items about new books about technology. And a lot of people say, well, is this about technology firms? Yes, because today all firms are technology firms if they hope to succeed.
So true. It's so true. It's evolved, and information technology is so important to understand and keep up to date with what's going on. And we talk about that a lot at Exit Coach Radio as well. Dr. Blackwell, I want to thank you for coming on. Again, for our listeners, the book is called Saving America. It's based on four decades of working with entrepreneurs. And it sounds so fascinating. I'm going to go out and get it myself right after we hang up here. But Roger Blackwell.
And I might add.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I might add that if Amazon's out of stock, which they have been a number of times, go ahead and put the order in and they'll restock for you.
There you go. There you go. So thank you so much for joining us. I would love to talk to you for several hours, but we don't have time today, but I'd love to have you back sometime so we can get deeper into this. Now, you're also a Vistage speaker, correct?
That's correct. I'm speaking in, I spoke last week in Charlotte and Washington, D.C., and I'll be speaking in Naples, Florida soon, and various cities around the country. I love the Vistage groups, and I love the 3 and 4 hour seminars, which we can explore some of the things we've just explored in a little more depth.
Well, you're amongst your people there, because those are business owners that are CEOs that want to get better. And again, if you're a Vistage chairperson and you want a fascinating speaker from somebody who's been there, done that, been teaching about it for many, many years, and has had personal conversations with many leaders, book Dr. Blackwell. And again, Dr. Blackwell, thanks so much for joining us, and look forward to the next time we speak.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after this, so please stay tuned. Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? Will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you, or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.